Well, good morning and welcome to The Drive. It is Tuesday, February 20th at 6:58 a.m., 37 degrees. I am in my car in my driveway waiting for the front windshield to defrost. I used to have one of those scrapers, but it just disappeared into thin air. I don't know where it is. But anyway, as I'm waiting, might as well start recording. So if you hear some windshield wipers on ice, that is my front windshield. So I got the heater on here. Yeah, it's solid. But anyway, guys, yesterday was awesome because we had a few people from church come over and we sorted through tons of donations and things from our garage. Our garage is full of stuff that we're going to sell at this garage sale this Saturday in order to raise money for our trip to Uganda and all that we'll need. We've been working with Friends for Hope over there for some years. Been a blessing. My wife and another woman from church went over there a couple years ago, and we're bringing a team in May, and so I'm excited for it. It's been 3.5-4 years since I've been out of the country on a mission trip, and I love it, and I'm excited about it, and God's going to do great things. The main thing is we're sponsoring kids to help them get through school, because that's one of the ways in which to get out of poverty, one of the ways in which to do well and to provide for the family and all. So that's one of many things we're able to do over there. But it's exciting. It's exciting. I'm stoked for the future, just seeing what God is going to do. You know, when you have open hands and say yes to the Lord, I mean, He challenges us, right? He does. He gets us out of those, you know, the American bubble, the comfort zone, gets us out of there. And that's when we really grow in our faith, right? That's when we really have to actually depend upon Him for everything. And that's a good place to be. It can be a difficult place to be, but it's a good place to be because we're saying, this is what God wants. This is what I'm going to do. He's going to equip me. If He wants me to do this, He's going to equip me. He's going to prepare me. And it's going to be a blessing. So anyway, there is that. But, you know, as Jesus is teaching His disciples and the crowd that is gathering behind them, what He said here is kind of I wouldn't say a controversial verse, but this is people's idea. Their interpretation of this verse is off, I think. Okay, my windshield is almost good, so I'm about to start driving. But let me read the verse, and then I'll start driving, and we'll talk about it. And remind me not to go the school route. When I go to the school route, the buses and everything, it takes really long because they're trying to let the buses in and out and the parents drop off their kids and all. So yeah, remind me. But Matthew 7:14, Jesus says, "For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few." All right. Let me pull out of the driveway and then we'll start. Man, I still need some defrosting a little bit. The way is narrow and difficult, in other words, is what Jesus is saying. For those who are going towards a narrow gate, for those who truly believe and are saved, it's that's a pretty stark reality that it is hard, it is difficult. It's not just, I received Jesus at a crusade, Harvest Crusade, or whatever, and that's all I did. No. It's like we're saved, right? We're rescued, and then we're set to work for the kingdom of God. Getting saved isn't the hard part, I think, because God convicts you, you repent. Excuse me, man. And He saves your soul. But then, that's when you're like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? That's when you're like, okay, Lord, I'm saved, now what? How do you want to use me? What's my calling in this season? How can I best glorify you? You know, and I think these questions are important to answer because really it's the point of life. It's the point of our lives. And so it's not easy. You know, there's a cost for truly, genuinely following Jesus. It's not just the Sunday social club religion that we participate in. It's not just, again, like has been said, it's not like just going and checking off a box and saying, religion, faith, done for the week, until next week. Our faith, our relationship with Jesus, our walk with the Lord, should permeate every area of our lives. It should be the thread, the common theme that runs through who we are in every area of our life, in personal life, marriage, family, work, and on and on and on. It's kind of like at family gatherings when people don't want to talk about my faith or what the Lord's doing in my life and what I'm able to see as God is moving. It's kind of like, I don't really have anything to talk about other than that. You know what I'm saying? And if they don't want to talk about that, then it's just formalities. It's just surface level. I'm like, you know, faith isn't just a thing I do. Faith is who I am. Like, this is a lifestyle. It's not just a hobby, you know? And so, yeah, it's difficult. You got to count the cost. If you're going to repent and trust in Christ for salvation, your whole life is going to change. Now, it's going to be an amazing and an awesome and a beautiful blessing. It definitely will. But it's going to change, and it's going to be difficult to let go of some things. It's going to be difficult to implement some things. It's going to be difficult as you have to decrease and the Lord increases in your life, like John the Baptist has said. But it's so worth it. Those of you who know, I mean, I think most of the listeners here are, you know, Christians, you're believers, really, and you understand that, yeah, it's difficult. You know, you're in a spiritual battle, but man, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. It is so worth it. It's worth every little battle, because the Lord is the one fighting. We surrender. He strengthens us, and he gets us through. I can't imagine. I just can't. Like, I can't imagine not knowing the Lord. That sounds horrible to me, you know, because I know the contrast. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't get saved at 4 years old. I lived my life to party, to do drugs, to do all of that stuff. It was institutions, jail, all kinds of stuff in my past, right? And I got saved in my 20s. I'm 45 right now, and it's like, I can't imagine not following Jesus. I can't imagine not seeking the Lord. I can't imagine how lonely and despairing that is. I mean, I knew how it was. I knew that's what it was like. I knew that's what life was like without the Lord. But now that I do know the Lord, man, of course it's difficult. Of course you trust in the Lord. Of course the enemy is there. The world's trying to influence you, and your flesh is trying to rise up and quash, you know, squash the spirit. But, you know, it's worth every second to be a follower of the Lord, to truly walk with God, to seek his truth and base our lives around his calling and his will and his ways for our hearts. I mean, that is, there is not, you know this, there's nothing like it in the world. So yeah, it's difficult, but it is so incredibly worth it. I wouldn't change a thing. And lastly, I kind of did the second part first, but the first part is, it's a narrow way. And here's my view on this, and you can disagree, but my view is that, you know, a lot of people, especially unbelievers, non-Christians, people that like, oh, you go to church, what a waste of time. You know, the people that are against, they go, wow, you're so narrow-minded. And I don't see it like that. I don't see it like, oh, we're so narrow-minded, no other faiths, no other religions, no other way to heaven except through Christ, even though John 14:6 clearly says that. Jesus says it. It's the way, the truth, and the life. But the thing is, I don't think necessarily we're narrow-minded. I think that God made it easy for us. He didn't say, here's 20 doors. Do your best to pick the right one. If not, better watch out, right? He didn't make it to where we have to try to guess or assume. He made it clear. It's through Christ that we're saved. He is the way to the Father. He is the truth that we rest upon. He is the life. He, you know, believing and trusting in him leads to eternal life. So when it says narrow, I just think, thank you, Lord. Like, personally, I just think, thank you, Lord, for making it easy for me. I like easy things. Okay, I'm not saying I don't like to be challenged. Of course I do. But when it comes to serious, soul-changing, soul-saving aspects of life, I would love it. I love it that it's easy. He made it clear. There's no question. And so it validates our faith, but also helps us to go, it's very black and white. It's very spelled out. The Lord has made it very clear for us. So I praise God that the way is narrow, that He's made it easy, that there is one way, and that's through Christ, the mediator between God and man. Thank you, Lord. I'm so grateful for that. And lastly, Jesus says, those who find it are few. But that doesn't and shouldn't discourage us from being able to share the truth and encourage others in the faith and in the Word of God. You know, there's always hope. There's a reason why Jesus is the judge. One of the reasons, I believe, is that we're not the judge. We don't know hearts. If we knew who was saved and who wasn't saved, then we'd be like, well, I'm not going to even talk to them about Jesus. I'm not even talking to them about the truth because they're never going to be saved. We don't know. But what we do is we are living to fulfill the Great Commission to go out and make disciples, to share the truth, to plant and to water. And God is the one who saves. He is the one who gives the increase. And that really does take the pressure off. But don't stop praying for those who you know who don't know the Lord. There's still hope. They're still alive. They're still breathing. There's still hope. Amen. Well, hey, God bless you guys. Hope you have an amazing Tuesday. Love you guys. Praying for you guys. We'll talk to you soon.